You're listening to a message from Victory. Discover how we can grow in deeper trust in God in week two of our Christmas series, Hark.
Today we're going to talk about Mary. And we know how it's not just in history, but it's in the Word of God. That it actually happened that by fact, Mary was a virgin when she gave birth to our Messiah, Jesus. How that did happen? First and foremost, because Mary trusted God. She trusted God. How Mary trusted God in the midst of life's interruption. She was getting ready to enter the house of Joseph to be married. But then there's a divine interruption. And sometimes when we see interruption, we get upset and when we blame God. But Mary trusted God. We all know how God interrupted her life, and she just said, bring it on, and trusted Him completely. Trusted God completely. How about for us? Can you honestly say, how's Christmas so far? How's Christmas to you? Is it like how Jo Marie Chan sang it? It's a perfect Christmas? Is it a perfect Christmas? Is there actually a perfect Christmas? I'm not talking about your bonus. Okay, I'm not talking about your year-end sale. I'm not. Okay, to the business people here. No. If you hit the quota or you haven't hit the quota or you're way beyond. No. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about your shopping or are you done with shopping? Or I'm not even talking about the traffic out there. Traffic will always be there. But I'm talking about your relationship with God. One thing that is that you are accountable for. One thing that we'd actually give glory to God. It's not the sales. It's not the fat bonus or lack of bonus. It's not that you didn't hit your sale. But it's a genuine, loving, deepening relationship with God. Mary trusted God. The question now is, do we trust God? Do we in turn trust God? It's Christ time. It's Christmas. Most of the time when we end the year, we think about the year that has gone, that has passed. Is He pleased with the life that we live? What marks, what milestones can you be proud of? Can God say, good and faithful servant, you did your best this year. I'm glorified with your life. We trusted God. We're going to read from Luke 1, 26 to 38 as Mary. As the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. So it's Mary. Mary who came from Nazareth, the town of Nazareth. Okay? Mary was around 12 to 14 years old. At that time, teenager, okay, and she's legally engaged now, betrothed to Joseph. That means betrothed. There's no physical interaction yet. No, okay, no sex yet, but they're already legally engaged. For 12 months, they have to wait until the end of 12 months to come into one house, to live in one house, for their marriage to finally consummate. Mary was nobody. Mary was a teenager. Mary was unknown. She was poor. And she was very young. And he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. This is a time that the angel Gabriel talked to her. She was frightened. Why? She has all the right to be frightened. First and foremost, she knows she is a God-fearing person. So she knows when an angel appears, there is a great news. And they come in two forms. One news is something that is scary or that means judgment or warning. And another one, good news. She was frightened because she knew that people were actually waiting for a Messiah. How come me? Why me? She was frightened because she knows that her life is about to be interrupted. There's going to be a divine disruption, divine interruption in her life. But what's the criteria to be highly favored? As we have read so many times that she's favored. Why her? She's nothing spectacular. She came from a town that is unknown, Nazareth. When you check the book of John, there's even a verse there that said nothing good actually comes out of Nazareth. But why Nazareth? Why her? Why somebody, a teenager who's about to be married to a person in Joseph? It's an unmerited favor. And only God can give us that unmerited favor. He doesn't look at your ability. He doesn't look at your disability. He doesn't look at your bank account. He won't even check if you're smart or not smart enough. But it's freely given to his heirs of his throne, to his sons and to his daughters. It's even written in the Bible that God uses the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. First thing we observe with Mary, how she fully trusted God, is she know that God is God. She know that He holds her in the very palm of His hand. He knows that God is His creator. She knows that He knew Him. He knew her by name. She knew that for a fact. Can we proudly say that? Can we proudly say that I know God? When I hear His voice, I know Him. I know it's God. She trusted God because she knows that God is her creator. That He has the right to interrupt our lives. And guess what? Not just He has the right, but He will, He can, and again, He has all the right to disrupt our lives. Because He is God. God is God. Like Mary, we should fully embrace life's interruptions rather than complaining because it is not done according to our will. We have different circumstances in our situation now. But then again, as we see God, as we say that we have a relationship with God, as we advertise that we are Christ follower, even some of us are victory group leaders. We serve in different capacity inside the church. We're an evangelist when we go out. But how is God using us? And how we know? How do we be certain? How are we certain that He knows us by name? That we fully comply and obey to our God? I love what Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 66 verse 2. He said, "Has not my hand made all these things? And so they came into being, declares the Lord. These are the ones I look on with favor. Those who are humble and contrite in spirit and who tremble at my word." Mary was favored because of these attributes. Humble and contrite in spirit who tremble at His very word. Is that us? We are highly favored, you and I. Jesus came to being. Jesus came to earth. Jesus died for your sin. For our sin, Jesus rose up again after 3 days to point and to give us that favor. I have that favor. You have that favor. All of us are living in that favor. But sometimes we have a notion of what favor is. How do we see Mary as favored? Is this really favored? She's spoken for. May asawa na po siya. Engaged na siya. Then all this divine interruption happened. Let's play this scenario. Highly favored woman. He now is legally engaged to Joseph. Betrothed means that there's actually a 12-month gap between before the consummation of marriage. So with that 12 months, Joseph has to be building his house. The house that he and Mary will be sharing. Can you imagine this scenario? Mary coming into the house. Knock, knock, knock. "Hey, Joseph, guess what?" Mary said, "I have good news." "Okay, what's the good news?" I'm pregnant. What would Joseph feel? Joseph would be, what are you saying? Okay, I haven't built the house yet. Nothing happened between us. How come you're pregnant? Okay, how did that happen? Wait, I have an explanation. Mary said, what's the explanation? The angel said that it will happen because of the power of the Holy Spirit. What? Joseph could have just picked him up and then throw him inside Mandaluyong, inside the mental hospital, for what she said. But she said, wait, but there's more. The child I'm bearing is the Son of God, the Messiah, the promised Messiah that would save you and I. You know what I love about Mary? She fully trusted God. She had the confidence because she trusted God. Joseph could just pick it up, squealed on him, and threw him to jail. Okay? She could just be labeled as an outcast and never to return to their village. What happened to women that out of wedlock becomes pregnant? They'll become an outcast. And forever, they'll be branded as prostitutes. But she trusted God and knew that God would go before her and would change the heart of Joseph. But that didn't stop there. Remember, Mary had a father and a mother. So she had to go to her parents' house. During the time of betrothment, the parents of the bride, they have to ready a dowry. So while this is the same different scenario, can you imagine? She's going there inside, Mary knocked on the door and said, hey dad, hey mom, guess what, I'm home. And the dad would say, hey Mary, you look chubbier now. What's going on? I'm pregnant. What? Call Joseph. Call him now. I want to talk to him. Wait. It's not Joseph. What? It's not Joseph. Then who? According to the angel, it is because of the power of the Holy Spirit and because I am highly favored. Highly favored. You became pregnant. Can't even share to people without thinking that you're not in the right mind. Mary still trusted and obeyed. Sometimes we look at favor, or when we're highly favored through tangible stuff. Oh, Pastor, I closed the deal today, so I feel I'm favored. Or Pastor, because I reached the quota, my quota for 2016, I'm highly favored by God. Wow. Pastor, you know what? I got that promotion. I got promoted 3 times this year. Pastor, it's because I was praying during prayer and fasting to have a love life. Now I have a love life. She's very pretty, and I hope that she doesn't remove her helmet. I'm highly favored. We see God's favor as those tangible stuff, but it's not. Favor means, like Emmanuel, the very message of Emmanuel is that God is with us. Whatever the circumstance, whether you hit that quota or not, whether you got that promotion or not, whether you're still praying for a relationship or not, that's God's favor. And guess what? God's favor is on you and on me, on all of us, because of what Jesus did. Mark Batterson said that God doesn't call the qualified, He qualifies the called. Nothing we can show for can qualify us to anything. Let me repeat that. Nothing. Not your educational background, not your bank account, not your... Nothing! Nothing. What qualifies us, the only thing that qualified us, is Jesus dying on that cross, giving us hope. That's the only thing that qualified us. We are heirs. Favor is more than attaining blessings. We need to have that paradigm shift. Sometimes it's more than the bonus, more than the new house, it's more than the new clothes. Knowing and being in God's presence, Emmanuel, God with us. When life is interrupted, remember, God is God. And as God, He has all the right to interrupt our lives. That's why Mary trusted God? Because she knows God is God. She has that relationship, and she knows that He is Lord over her life. Next is, because God has a plan. God has a plan for you and I. God has a plan for everybody. God has a plan, and His plan, plans and purposes would transcend generations until it come into a completion. Sometimes, as people, we're so narrow-minded that we look at our situation as the big thing, as the main thing. It's not. It's just a scene. It's just a picture, and the whole thing, the whole movie, is not yet done. We just play a small part. In Luke 1:34, and Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." When she asked the question, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" she was questioning, she was inquiring. It's different when Zechariah did it in chapter 1, verse 20. Remember that? Because Zechariah moved in doubt because of fear. Fear of the unknown. He was scared. He was saying, "Okay, what? I'm going to be a dad at my very mature age? And my wife is even barren? We're going to be a laughing stock of our community. They're gonna say that we're crazy. How can we tend a child at our age? And even the priest. And it happened inside the temple. Zechariah was asking the why. Why? Why is this happening? Sometimes we're stuck in that kind of situation also. Pastor, you know, I've been praying. I've been faithfully giving. And I'm keeping myself pure and holy. But why? Why? And then you can't move on. There's no stretching of faith that happened. For Mary, it's not, she didn't ask the why, but she asked the how. She was certain that this will come to pass. That's how much she trusted God. She knew it will happen. She was just asking how. The angel went to the extent of explaining everything to her. But she knows that she has been favored and she is the chosen one. And she's up to the task. She was ready for it. There's a high price for her obedience. High price. She could have been labeled an outcast. Never to have a family anymore. But Mary obeyed anyway. She didn't get scared. She trusted. With Zechariah, because of his fear, fear turned into doubt. Instead of questioning, turned into doubt. Instead of faith, became fear. Marriage was not her ultimate goal. This is Mary. Marriage, okay, let me talk to you singles now. Her ultimate goal is not just to get married. If she gets married, it's a bonus. She knows the very reason of her being, of her living, is to glorify God. And when God said, "I have a plan, I will make you, you will become pregnant, you will deliver the son, my son, to save the world," she said yes, and she fully trusted and obeyed. Because she knows that she's not just after the title married. Her identity or public reputation was not the ultimate thing. For her, it's not about the social media, or not the Instagram, or not what people would say. But knowing in my heart, I have obeyed God, I have honored Him, and I've proven that I am a good servant of the Lord. Her comfort and security was not the ultimate thing. She has to move. When she went to Elizabeth, they stayed to Elizabeth, because they know that if people find out that she's pregnant, something can happen to her and the child that she's bearing, who is the Son of God. So she had to travel far. Sometimes for us, before we take that step of faith, we're going to check first. Does that fit me? Does that fit me? Oh, if it doesn't fit me, oh, it's okay, I'll stay here. I don't want to go to San Juan. Why? Because the chairs there, it's not padded. It's monoblock. And, I forgot. There's no aircon. Not yet. And I would lose my favorite chair here in church. Because I have the full view of the pastor. And he can't see me, that I'm sleeping while he's preaching. Sometimes we tend to stay where we are. We tend to be so cautious that we don't want to move. Stepping out of faith means no matter what, when Jesus calls me, I'll move. I'll go. I trust Him. He has a plan, and His plan is good for me. Might not be aligned to my plan, but it is His plan. He is God. I will just fully obey. Don't let your plans make you miss God's purposes. Do not ever put your plans over and above God's purposes and plans. Because why? It's doomed to fail. Doomed to fail. Don't get stuck in a situation and then blame. Now start blaming God. God, look at this. Because you didn't check out His purpose and His plans for your life. Because you did otherwise. Sometimes when we make out our plan, we said, Lord, okay, this is your plan in my life. Bless it. No. Realign first. Ask God, seek God. That's why He has given us discernment. Don't make your plan His plan. It might not be the same. It might not be the same. Do you actually read the Bible? Why? This is a book that has promises for our life from cover to cover. Do you inquire to God? How would you know that it is His plan if you don't even read His plan and promises for your lives? God has good and perfect picture in His mind, and we're just playing a scene. Eventually, it will be part of His big story. And what the situation we are in now, right now, the situation that we'll be facing, is just one scene that will prove His glory. Let's go to Mary. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. Forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Oftentimes, we don't know His plan because we're stuck and focused on what we're doing. When we see God's plan, God's bigger plan, we would see that God's plan is actually better for you. It's better for you. Why? When you check the Bible, there's no second best for anyone. It's always the best. It's always the best. There's no, what if this happened, then this is my promise. No. It's always good, pleasing, and perfect. Always, for everyone. You know, I have 3 children. I cannot tell that to my 3 kids. I can't honestly say. I would always point back then to God. Same way, His plan is always better for you and I. Better. Not only that, but His plan is best for all. It's best for all. I remember my story. My plan was simple. Seemingly simple. My plan is to just get married. Marry a beautiful wife that my parents would approve. Do good in business. Start my own business. Because at that time, I didn't like the business of my dad. And I feel like it's not for me. So I ventured to my own business. My plan is to have kids. Wonderful kids. I have wonderful kids now. The one who gave tithes and offering a while ago was my eldest son. And that was the plan. To live a happy life. To retire by 45. Then God rudely interrupted my life. How dare He? How dare He? And you know, I praise God now that He did so. I didn't know for a fact that my wife, my loving wife, wasn't happy with the life that we were living before. So when God rudely interrupted that life, I praise God that now I'm a better husband to her. It was just now, recently, that I learned from my kids that they fear me so much, that they tend to be good and jolly when I'm around, but then fearsome before I get home. But now, I praise God, after He rudely interrupted my life, I now have a better relationship with my kids. Right? Yes, okay. He said yes. Just kidding. No, he was sleeping. No, just kidding. And I praise God that His plan is not just better for me, but I see now slowly that it's best for all. That He can use me. This has never been part of my plan. to be a pastor, to be a full-time minister. No, it's never my plan. What God is weaving now in your lives, it's a good plan. Guess what? There's going to be a redemptive purpose. You would see that even your family, you will be proclaiming Jesus through your lives. If you just simply trust, if you simply obey, if you simply embrace that in every divine interruption, God has a good plan. God has a big plan. Interruptions are not obstacles to our plan. They're opportunities for us to embrace God's plan. Do you want to embrace God's plan? Do you know God? Do you read His plan, His promises for your lives? Mary trusted God even when her life is interrupted. Actually, a heart issue. God is God. God has a plan. And lastly, God is able. He's able. Verse 36 to 37. And behold, your relative Elizabeth is in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will it be impossible with God. I love how Angel Gabriel went even to the extent of pointing a fact to Mary. Mary was questioning. She posed a question to the angel, but not questioning the wisdom of God. Okay? That's two different things. There's a great difference between our plans and God's promises. She knew all along God's promises. But now she was just asking, okay, so what's the plan? It's okay to question. It's okay to question. But never to doubt. It's good to question how it will happen. Good. But never to doubt why. Why is this happening to me? How dare he? How dare God? How dare God? Maybe you're in that situation. In that very situation. Because of your wrongdoing. Question. Question him, but not his wisdom and not his ways. His good, pleasing ways for all of us. The angel, Gabriel, went to the extent of explaining. Remember, you know Zechariah. You know your cousin Liz. She's way advanced in her years. And guess what? She's pregnant now. Remember that she was barren. But because of God, because God is able, because God divine in his divinity, with that divine interruption, made her pregnant. And now, she's with a child, John the Baptist. Because he is able. When everything else fails, when we, in our own human attempt to try to comprehend, try to do things our way, when you look to God, He's the only one that is able. He's able to just erase all our sin. He's able to give us hope. He's able to give us all victories. That the Bible said that we are more than conquerors. That whatever comes our way, we are more than victorious. Because He is able. Because God is able. When we in our finite mind cannot even comprehend that, and then we charge in front, face everything, then misery happens. If we do it without trusting and obeying God, if we do it and not knowing that God is there for us, God will fight for us. We often get upset if plans don't push through, but one thing is certain, He keeps His promises. Two different things. Our plans and His promises. His promises will still be the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. His promises would never even fail. His promises might not be now, it might be later, but it will come to pass to His righteous people. To those people that obey Him and fully, fully love Him, respect Him, and give Him glory. But plans, sometimes we make out plans, and then when we're in the middle of everything, we just remember, Lord, may you bless our plans. Lord, I'm going to pray and fast so every plan that I put down will happen and come to pass this 2017. What if it's not aligned to His will? You know why we tend to do that? we do our plans, and then we just remember and then just drag God in. It's because we don't know Him. As a church, as a person, we should not be just after the promises. What we should be after is the promise giver. What we should be after is God's heart, not all His blessings. Counting our blessings doesn't mean counting all the gifts under the Christmas tree, not counting the monies that you earn in the bank. Counting the blessing is knowing that every promises that He has given you would come to pass because He is faithful and we are not. Proverbs 16 verse 9, the heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. Can you imagine if you are the wedding coordinator of Mary and Joseph? I have three weddings in a span of 2 weeks. I've been to one. I have two more in the next 4 days. Okay? And every time, every wedding, the wedding coordinator would be so frantic if they check AccuWeather. You know AccuWeather? The weather forecast. And there's forecast of rain. Okay, when it reached 40% humidity, they start praying. Okay? And I remember in one wedding, they started calling me up. I said, Pastor, we need to pray. Why? There's dark clouds. We need to shoo the clouds away and make them dissipate somewhere else, not in our place. When I got there, they said, okay, Pastor, did you feel the drizzle? That's not drizzle. That's your laway. Because you kept on talking. They became so frantic because the rain might ruin the wedding. The rain might ruin the mascara of the ninongs and the ninongs. No, ninang, sorry. Ninongs wala mascara. It might not go according to the plan of the groom and the bride. Look at what happened to Mary. It's a big setup. It's a big divine interruption. And yet she trusted. She trusted God. She knows how big God is. She knows that His plan is better for her life. And He knows that His plan covers every human being up until now. Jeremiah 29 verse 11 said, for I know the plans I have for you, declares Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. What is that promise that you're holding on to? What is the promise that up until now you've been scared to ask if it has come to pass? Do not limit God. In Hebrews 10 verse 23, He said, He who promised is faithful. It's not us. It's not us. We plan, but it's His purposes that would come to pass. Because He is faithful. If it's just up to us, our ability, we're doomed to fail. It's never about the promises, but it's all about the promise keeper. Question now is, do you know the promise keeper? Do we have that relationship with the promise keeper? Because if we're not, then fear would set in. Then doubt and confusion is setting in. Then there's no clarity. Then everything's like up in the air. Then that means that after this service, when you go out, it's gone. You just wasted an hour and a half of your time. Seek the promise keeper. Seek His face. Know His plans and purposes for your life. Let me close with Luke 1:38. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. When we face life's interruption, all we have to do is trust and obey. Trust and obey. Honor God with our hearts when we fully trust. What we're after here, like in Mary's heart, is total submission. Totally submit to God's will. Let it be to me according to your word. Let me put aside all my plans. Let your plans precede mine. Why? Because you are God and you know what is better for me. And I will just fully submit. That means also is unwavering faith. Lord, you are a big God. I know your ways are higher. I know your thoughts are higher. And I have full faith and confidence in you. So now, do your will in my life. Also mean complete obedience. Yes, you can question. Yes, you can question, but never disobey. Never disobey. Lord, thank you that you even use Mary, your mother, to show us how to not just understand you, but how to completely obey and how faith really works. That it's supposed to be unwavering. That it demands total submission, complete obedience. Maybe you're in that situation right now that you feel like you've hit that dead end. And now you're pinpointing, oh, this might be the divine interruption that the pastor is saying. And you've searched high and low, you've never seen God to be a part of it. God has His ways. God knows where you are right now. But then again, that's not God's plan for your life. God's plan is good, pleasing, and perfect. So the Lord said, unto you, my sons and my daughter, trust and see what's inside my heart. Never in a million years would I harm you. Never in a million years would I ever forget my promises for you. They would come to pass as I so please. But in my time, do not hasten, do not cut corners, do not even doubt. I expect that you would fully surrender to me and know my wills and my ways. Lord, I pray, Lord, in behalf of my brothers and my sisters, Lord, that it's more than the season that is about to come or to come to an end, or a new year that is about to happen. But Lord, I pray, Lord, that they will seek your face, know that you are God. Lord, I pray, Lord, that they will draw near, Lord God, near to you, Lord God, with full confidence and faith. Lord, I even pray, Lord God, Lord, that as they seek all the promises, Lord, they will put it down and say, I need the promise giver. I need you in my life. I need to prioritize you. It's not just in Christmas. Lord, I pray, Lord, that as we give love on Christmas Day, Lord God, that we will be first and foremost that recipient of love. Thank you, Jesus. That's because of you. Now we can fully give love. Lord, I even pray, Lord God, Lord, for a realignment, Lord. If there are things, Lord, that not realign, if there are confusions, Father, I pray, Lord, for clarity right now. Lord, even pray, Lord, that it will be so crystal clear that we know that your hand is there. Lord, even pray, Lord, for those who are making decisions, Lord God, not to make those decisions in haste, but rather, Lord, to seek your direction first. Seek your very direction. Lord, even pray, Lord, that as they do those directions, Father, that you're even extending deadlines upon deadlines. Lord, that it is actually according to your timing. So, Father, I pray this right now. Lord, let us not end the year. Let us not just religiously celebrate Christmas like it's a religion. Lord, I pray, Lord, like Mary, there's joy. Like Mary, in her divine interruption, there's peace. Like Mary, we would see a vision of God's ways, God's purposes being completed, and we're going to be in the middle being used mightily by God. So Father, I pray this right now. And as a congregation, Lord God, as we go to our families, Lord, one message and one message will be shared. That you are faithful, that you are a big God.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more messages like these from other Victory Centers, please visit victory.org.ph/resources/podcasts.